to interview any people that we might have on our list. You did complete your homework assignment, didn't you, Senator Ray?
What was that?
To give a list of people that you wanted to have interviewed and looked at?
I don't know of anybody.
You don't? Not even Senator Petrovich?
No.
No, okay. What's the pleasure of the committee?
I'd like to make a motion that we send them to Anchorage. I think that $1,000 is probably long worth it on face-to-face contact. Something you may need to know.
Okay, any objections?
Aye.
Yes, sir. Are you gonna tell us why?
Do I have to?
No. All right, you can keep it a secret. All right, all in favor of the motion to send the folks to Anchorage, raise your right hand. Okay, 3-1, thank you. Assuming you, yes, any objections? Yes.
How do you figure majority?
Majority of those present?
Oh, is that what you're figuring, majority of those present?
Well, sure.
Do you have objections to that?
Yes.
You want a majority of the six?
That's right.
I have a joint committee. Oh, Mike up here.
Joint.
The committee you are.
Joint committee, the rules for joint committees, you have to have a majority of the 2-2, is that what you have to have? I don't remember.
It's more or less considered that you must have it, like the legislative auditor and the state council.
Even on special committees?
Well, then you could just get three people from the same committee.
He has a point.
Yeah, he does have a point. Unfortunately, he usually does have a point.
That's what I would ask. Let's go on to another thing.
Just so you understand, I was brought my objection, but I just wanted to make the point.
Make the point.
Got it, okay, thank you. No objection? Yes, yes, but that's a point well taken. All right, so we have to have a majority of the House and a majority of the Senate. All right, fair enough. I think we can all look at that. Lists of people that you were to contact? Everybody's got them?
I forgot about John Petrovich. Maybe we should review these people. Fine. Senator?
Do you have it in your packet?
I don't know. I don't have a packet.
Underneath there.
Underneath this?
There's two pieces of paper there.
Underneath this. Here it is.
Okay.
Why are you such masochist?
These are suggested people, Senator. Let's go through them.
I can't believe that you people are really doing this.
Just because we interview all these kind folks doesn't mean that we have to take everything they say verbatim or utilize anything they say, but it'd be nice to give them their day report, I would think. Representative Miller has just arrived.
Here you have people who are known dissidents, known controversial figures. You have to take their words for how the legislature should reform themselves. Are you kidding? Ken Fanning? Dick Randolph?
Okay, whose names are these?
These are mine.
Okay, would you like to defend your name?
Because I think Jay Hogan, we have a committee here that is looking into legislative reform. Doesn't mean we have to take these suggestions, but I think they should be included in there in the suggestion. Brad Bradley?
Yes, he was a senator.
Yeah. Joe LaRocca?
Brad.
I don't have much of a list.
Do you have names to add? All right, who do we strongly object to? I don't think we need to talk to two liberals.
You don't even have a Democrat here. Why don't you have a Democrat here?
I have the Democratic Party up the top.
Right.
Sam Cotton's at the top.
And who are they? Is this the state ad infinitum? And any Democrat that you walk down the street? The state Democratic Party.
Do you have some suggested Democrats?
I don't have any suggested. This list is terrible.
Okay. We would love to see a suggested list from all members of the committee.
I have the one name that I gave you.
Yes, right.
Thank you.
I have John Petrovich. When I talk about former legislators, I wanted to talk to...
Do you
Need more of them?
No.
Well, I'll have Tabitha's,
Jan, where is our list? No, in my hand. Give me a minute, I can think of who isn't on here. Okay, my list included former Senate presidents, former speakers of the House.
That makes more sense. Not that you're that.
Former rules chairman.
No. Some people are rules chairman just by the luck of the draw.
How about finance chairman?
Same thing. No, finance is a bit more tougher.
I thought it was a little tougher.
Finance is a bit tougher. Yeah, you can get some ideas out of finance.
Al Adams has prepared a large packet of ideas, so that's what gave me the idea of finance chairman.
Yeah, you could get that.
And if there were some comments or changes to be made in the finance committee, I thought it would only be fair to have input from the finance chairman.
If I might go down through your list with you?
Okay, we have a few more, just a second. We had Senate secretaries and clerks of the House.
No. They don't, I don't know if anything that they're having other than a, maybe on a...
Technical.
Technical on the rules or something like that.
That was the only reason, right. Technical changes that they would... Would you like the floor, Senator?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, Randy? Why don't we give your people a shot? Would you rather have the Chamber of Commerce or the Republican Women's Club?
Did you hear?
That's his point.
Well, Senator, you haven't submitted the list, but I have, so, you know, I think I should have the right to ask these people to be interviewed. I don't mind discussing it, but, you know, I think that we're gonna, you know, have...
If you're gonna make their testimony part of the formal thing, you have nothing but a pointed, biased approach. Republican Party, Libertarian. People at the Republican Party is fine, part of it. When you start talking about Libertarians, particularly the ones that you have mentioned here, were highly controversial figures. That used the legislature, used your own caucus in there, in the House, many times, turning on their own, evolving on their own self-interest. I don't want to hear anything they have to say. I've heard everything they have to say, and it sickens me.
And then what did you suggest, Jim?
I would suggest you have those two guys.
Representative Lockwood, yes, it would be my suggestion that we give the list to the people that are going to do the research as suggested lists, and I see that you have behind their names what they did or how they fit in or have fit into the process, and let them choose from this list what they would consider representative of a group of people that should be interviewed. I'm certainly they're not going to interview every name we give them. Okay, they have asked for our list, so Representative Locker, we must look at this list, and Senator Ray has a point to a point. If we give them the list of our dissidents, that is not any fairer than if we gave them a list of all of us who love us. So I think we need to give them a representative list of people that have an interest. For instance, the League of Women Voters is not on here. The League of Women Voters did a thorough study in 1977 and 78 of the legislative process and made some suggestions for change. I think it's only a courtesy that because they have done this in the past, that they be asked to be interviewed. They're missing from here. The state chamber did their first study in 1972. I think they should be asked here. But the Anchorage chamber has not done anything to legislative reform as such. So I don't think the Anchorage chamber should be asked or involved in this at all. But the state chamber did have a committee and did publish a report that was circulated. So they would have something to say. The free committee also has. And common sense a little bit, but not as much. They more on specific budget matters more than anything. But like the Libertarian Party, to the best of my knowledge, has never asked or been interested in legislative reform. I mean, they, Dick Randolph and Ken Fanning knocked the system totally, but I don't know if they've ever done anything to help make it better, but I guess is what I'm trying to say.
The point, Madam Chair, the point I'm saying is I think the three parties, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, should have some input in there. Whether it's through Randolph or Fanning or chairman of the Libertarian Party, or the chairman of the Republican Party, or the chairman of the Democratic Party, I think, you know, some input should be funneled through by these three parties. What I'm trying to make. Now, if you reject the personalities, that's fine. But I think the three major parties should be should have some input in this.
Three recognized parties. Okay.
Well, it's
like,
well,
you're good.
Yeah.
Well, it's 15.
I mean, it's got 15. Can't we be school board and say that instead of why would you want to ask Jay Hogan? What could possibly he offer in legislative reform? Unless on budget matters. If you're talking on budget matters, you're going to get more out of the finance chairman than you're going to get out of Jay Hogan. I can tell you Jay Hogan's philosophy right now. That if this is your idea of legislative reform, it's not mine. Jay Hogan's is that the legislators should make the policy decisions only, and the legislative finance staff will set the dollar numbers and the rest of it, and all that we have to do is just come in and set policy. And that's his system.
Would he have anything technical to offer about the finance committee?
The only thing technical he would have to offer, and I don't say this in a derogatory fashion, but the only thing he would have to do would be in favor of the staff or the people who work for the legislature. Let's have the commonality, the people in the street, you might say, that complain through their. I don't have any problem with common sense, or I don't have a problem with the Republican Party of Alaska. Per se, although Ken Stout is not one of my favorite guys, the guy who went around doing his utmost to defeat the organization of the Senate. You're going to have me listen to him and tell what his legislative reform should be?
Who's the contact for the Democratic Party of Alaska?
I have no idea.
We don't have to listen to these people, right?
Right.
We don't have to listen to them. Someone else is going to have to filter out whether these people have anything to offer.
That's right.
Right. And so as long as we don't have to listen to them, we have to be real careful that we weren't too selective, where the people aren't going to believe what comes out of this committee. I mean, we're hiring professionals to judge this,
just to get some advice, just a third party to look it over,
and certainly to judge the input.
But I need to reiterate, they have asked us to do some field work for them, and one of the field works is to come up with a list of people to interview. They will give us all the stuff, and we can throw it. They have asked for a list of names. Representative Miller, do you have any comments?
Well, I sort of have to apologize for coming in late, so maybe security is already covered, but I just have a hard time hearing all, not anybody outside of Juneau right at this moment.
Doesn't have to, but we do anyway.
We do
after the fact, we don't do it before the fact.
Well, how can you disclose a loan until you get it?
You can file that you can file with APOC that you've applied for a loan. So anybody who's interested, so you went public with that. This is just a suggestion.
So I can run around and get your loan denied. That's why you have to stay open and I run next time.
Well, that's a possibility.
What was I going to ask you here? There was something that came right to my mind when we were talking right here.
Something about the loan disclosure, APOC?
Yeah. We're pretty close. It was the thought of the century.
The reason for this is, you know, that the newspaper takes great glee in publishing who has and who doesn't have a state loan, as if it was some criminal offense or we all got them real sneaky-like. And so if you start off at the premise that we're allowed to get a state loan, then how can we get a state loan and let the public know we have it so that we didn't do it sneaky? And the only way we could come up with is then file ahead of time that you've applied for one. And that seems to me is above board. You filed ahead of time, you were filing, then you have to go through the rigmarole of getting it or not getting it.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, unless somebody wanted to really create a kind of an atmosphere of funny, you say, well, we'll accept your application, but the money won't become formalized until 30 days before the election, and then or 60 days before an election. And because public, this guy got a loan 60 days before the election, and the public opinion sometimes is pretty flighty. Say, well, there's a guy's ripping off the state. You know, he's loan 60 days right here before the election. My God, we don't want a guy like that either.
I don't know what the option is. If you have a right to get a loan, then the only other option to me is then we don't have rights to get a loan.
Well, there's some suggestion that we aren't first-class citizens, that we're some kind of second-class citizens. And that's created, yeah, come back to me when I was going to say. The reasoning behind this is that the conflict of interest law that is in place now has been in place since territorial days where they didn't have state laws. And none of these things happened.
Right.
And now that the whole structure has changed, that portion is archaic. And we'll have to bring it up to date and then reform it to fit the times as it is. 10 years from now, we'll have to do it again, or 5 years, whatever it is. But we've changed so much, even in the last 6 or 8 years, the whole climate has changed in the legislature. And as a result, we have to make it known to the people that these things that a legislature can have a loan to be qualified like everybody else. He can't rent a building if it's in a competitive loan deal. Everybody has to take their own chance when you run for public office, what the media is going to do to you, what your opponents are going to do to you, and what public opinion is going to do to you. That's one of the problems of running, and that's one of the risks. So, as you said, if we're to be part-time legislators, which none of us are anymore, we're getting paid part-time, but we're expected to do the full term. If they want to give us $70,000 a year, I don't think any of us need a loan. We can't get along on that kind of money, and we better make it do, and then we can devote all our time. We don't need any loans. We don't need to rent rent buildings or anything else. We can just be legislators and live off of our salaries and be perfectly absolved from anything and then remove ourselves from that. But if you have a citizen-type legislature, as you suggest, where you have to make a living,
right,
then you have to do it. You have to, and just because you want to run for office, you shouldn't be denied the same privilege as anybody else.
That's right. We're talking the same. Yes.
Except I agree with everything you both say, but there's something different here, and I don't know how we provide for it. We're living in a state where we have many, many subsidized loans that are not available other places.
Nowhere else.
And what we need to do is somehow ensure for the public that as a legislator, by applying and getting these loans, you are not taking advantage of something that you actually put together. And how you do that, I don't know, but I think it's really important. The public perceives it as a ripoff.
Anybody that can put together a program that's going to benefit him or two or three others and can sell it to the legislature and get by with it, his brain work on other matters of state government is probably worth what he's getting at.
It doesn't satisfy the public, though.
All they want to know is that you're not getting a better shake and that you didn't set it up special.
Yeah.
And if you can somehow do that, then you're okay. I really don't think they expect you not to have it or not to be able to apply for it.
They just don't want to make sure that you get 10 points and they only get 6.
Well, now you're getting into the morality of human beings. I'm a legislator, and I happen to own a building in downtown Anchorage. And I am in a position of I'm the finance chairman. some other heavy-duty operator. And they know that I have a building in downtown Anchorage, and they know that there's going to be, that it's for rent. And the agency, I don't think it doesn't happen. The agency might have a program that they would dearly love to get through. What they need is like a needs assessment study or something for $250,000. And they play on the emotions of the guy, and they say, well, gee, we're interested in renting some property out there. And the guy says, yeah. Well, we're looking at your building, and we put it out, although there were two other leases that were lower. We feel that the location of your building and the rest is more convenient, and that overcomes it. And we certainly are interested. As soon as we get done with this needs assessment study, we'd like to come and talk to you. Now, this is implied. So how do you correct all that?
How do you?
You don't. Human nature is human nature. And to run around and hold the flag up and wave it and say, by God, we're all perfect because we passed the code of ethics. We're all wonderful because we have a conflict of interest law. We're all supreme because we got APOC and everybody knows. Who cares, really? Except the people. And there's no way that you're gonna change the impact of the media writing and reporting and putting their interpretation on the news as they see it.
We still have a conflict of interest mandate here that we've got to look at, tighten up. We have contracts to talk about for legislators, and sure, we have loans to talk about. So what we have to decide is, how can a legislator apply for a loan and be equal with everybody else in the state who also goes to apply for a loan?
He has to fill the same requirements as the guy that's making the application. What else?
So what you're saying is there shouldn't be any other restrictions on that legislator for applying a loan except for filling out, except that we say they can apply for a loan so that the public knows a legislator can apply for a loan. They don't do anything different than any other John Q. citizen. They fill out the papers the same way. There's no other restrictions or reporting.
If you want it to be perfectly equal, yes, you're exactly right. However, if you want to put some cosmetic thing in it, you can put one or two little hazards in there that have reporting dates or like reporting when the application is made. But then the application is made. I applied for a $100,000 loan, and it's reported, and it's put out in the newspaper. That's their job to report those things. But the loan does go through. But everybody says, hey, you got a $100,000 loan. And I run around and say, no, I didn't get no money. But there isn't anything in the newspaper, because that isn't news that I didn't get the loan. It was news that I applied for the loan, but it wasn't news that I didn't get it.
I agree with you, Bill. Maybe we could find another avenue saying, once the loan has been signed off on, we would report to ADOC.
You have to do that.
At the beginning of every legislative session, the agencies, the administration, or the agencies should report the current
loans outstanding or something like that.
The current, what's the word? What the loan? No, but your loan. I mean, whether your loans, who's got loans, whether they're current, what the loans are, all the rest
financial
of them.
Statement.
Yeah, well, like a financial statement. If you want to do it that, make that a requirement if somebody has a loan, I don't think there would be any objection to it. I mean, what would be the reason to object to it if you...
When you plan on doing this once a year or
beginning of each legislative session?
Beginning of each legislative session.
Well, we do that anyway. We do that through the conflict of interest statement.
Yeah.
Every calendar year, we have to put all our loans and everything
just
else.
Just that you have a loan, not the money amount.
That's, yeah.
Right. Yeah, but then this, you want to put the money amount in there? What's your money amount of loan is from the state? Conflict of interest, it says you have an obligation for $500 to each person.
So you're suggesting not that when we...
Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make any sense? If you wanted some cosmetic approach to it, or if you wanted to you know, glisten it up a little bit.
Let me get this straight. And you're saying every year in January we get this conflict of statement from APOC we have to fill out. And you're saying just do one more step further, and that is put the loan amount on.
Have the agencies provide the legislature with a list of those legislators who have outstanding loans, mm-hmm. how much the loan is for, how much is left on the payment, and whether it's current. That's what I'm talking about.
And make that public.
Well, if you give it to us, it's public, isn't it?
Another thing I want to emphasize here, it is another potential problem in the newspaper suit. But it makes sense. One problem I have here is newspapers, they list us all, you know, what loans we have. And some of us got loans when before we became legislators. And, you know, like some of the headlines to say, X million dollars get subsidized loans. Well, some of these loans were not subsidized, like the home loans became subsidized in 1980. I'm going to use that as an example. And there's loans that have been made by legislators way before they became legislators.
You want to include the date of the transaction, date of the loan.
Well, yes. But I just did, these are some of the pitfalls.
Well, just a second. The newspaper sounded like we were all criminals for having a loan, too.
Well, that's true.
Yes. Well, all those guys that had it were criminals.
Right. Oh. I can hardly believe you. You must have paid somebody not to publish your loan.
You got it.
Don't need a loan.
I want to ask the three guys here that have been here and that have gone through a session too. Have you ever at any time went around and secured a vote on a bill, one or two votes in favor of a bill, and you were going to vote no? You wanted the bill to pass, but for whatever reason, you wanted to be involved. You ever done that? Yeah, you have. I can tell you what you have.
I never heard of such a thing.
Well, what I'm trying to say is...
I just don't understand your question at all.
Well, I think I know where you're going.
What I'm trying to say is that if somebody wanted to phony up a loan program for a certain group of people, he'd be a no vote all the way down the line. And he'd be one of them, but it would be working for him. And people disinterested from some of them that have no interest in it at all, but owe a certain commitment to him either for some reason, they would pass the bill and he would be raised as a no vote and he would reap the benefits. That's very easy to find out. You ask now.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Exactly.
So this gets back to you're either a crook or you're not. What it comes down to. And if anything that you're going to put in here is going to be a cosmetic thing for the public, make it as sweet as you can and as believable as you can.
Well, this is for the Attorney General, though, Senator. He's not after cosmetics.
The Attorney General is going to bring you down. He's going to pay attention. He's going to shift the criminal responsibility to a civil responsibility, and he'll follow pretty much the guidelines of the bill, except recognizes the Constitution says we are all equal. And I think that's, I'm not sure, but I would guess that that's what's going to come down.
It's 3 o'clock. Any other wisdom to come before the committee?
It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Lively discussions. Don't miss the next round, folks.
Could it quantify that? Is there any wisdom to come before this? Not any additional wisdom. Is there
meeting adjourned.